For the world that's lost in darkness, for the saint who's gone astray,
for the sinner blind but searching, for the child in need of faith,
for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old, there is a remedy. For every sin-sick soul, there is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid,
for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed,
for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wronged, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong, there is a remedy.
For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, for every time and every place, there's an answer to the question.
Solution.
For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, ladies trio, and you pray for these ladies. They will be traveling on and off throughout the summer, representing the Trinity Baptist Bible College, and they'll be traveling as far north as Amarillo, as far south as San Antonio, and then every point in between. Just about, I think we've got about 10 or 11 meetings that we have scheduled for them through the summer and even into September. So I want you to pray for these ladies as they represent the Trinity Baptist Bible College. John chapter 10, if you would please. We're going to continue on in our Wednesday evening studies on the subject, the Savior and His sheep. Now, for the last two or three Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the Savior and His sheep in the area of the feeding process, about the type of foods and what's necessary for the nutritional value, the spiritual nutritional value of the people of God, and what we need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So we're talking a little bit about that on Wednesday night as far as the feeding process. Tonight we're going to change directions just a little bit, and you'll see what I'm talking about in John 10. Would you stand with me? John chapter 10, we're going to read verses, begin in verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. In other words, they were misrepresenting what Jesus was, the coming Savior that they claimed to be the Savior. He said they've all been thieves and robbers. They've done nothing but try to have religion and teach things and profit from the teachings of maybe even Scripture. And so He says there have been thieves and robbers, but the sheep, did not hear them. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now listen to this statement. He said, I come, in contrary, I come that they, that's the sheep, might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In other words, not that they just get a taste of Christianity and a taste of the Christian life and the service of the Lord. He says, but I came that they might have the fullness of everything that I have to offer the believer. Go to skip down to verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Tonight I want to change directions just a little bit, if I could, church, and talk to you tonight about the Savior and His sheep. Instead of the feeding process, I want to begin this Wednesday and probably the next two Wednesdays talking to you about the grooming process. The grooming process of the sheep. Father, would you bless now in our service tonight? And Lord, we want so desperately as a church to learn. We want to grow. We want to, Lord, take what you have for us tonight and assimilate it into our spirit and into our being. That when we leave this place tonight, that we might have had a taste, Lord, of the precious Word of God that was sweet as honeycomb in our mouth. And so we ask now, Spirit of God, that you do the work that you promised that you would do. And we'll certainly be careful to give you the glory for it tonight in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, let me just simply say, church, in the beginning tonight, is that to be a shepherd of sheep is a choice. It's not a mandate. God does not mandate everybody to be a shepherd. But shepherd, to be a shepherd, is a choice under the ordination of God Almighty. Now, Jesus, if you'll think about it, He chose to be our shepherd. It was not a mandate. He chose to be so, knowing the conditions of the sheep. Listen now, and the potential problems that come with being a shepherd, the potential problems that sheep could cause, the weaknesses that sheep have. But you know what drove Him was the love for the sheep. That was the motivating factor that drove Him to do what He did. Listen, you know what put Him on the cross? Yes, our sins did, but the love of all mankind and the salvation of souls was the most important thing that drove Him to the cross. Now, so far in our studies on Wednesday nights, we've learned much about the relationships now of the Savior and His sheep. Let me just remind you of a couple of things. First of all, we've learned that Christ is the final authority. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. The pastor is only an under-shepherd under the great shepherd. The under-shepherd just simply communicates what the great shepherd has already said. So basically, all I do is just reiterate what God has already said. And then we've also learned that Christ has ordained under-shepherds, as I mentioned, to oversee the flock. Now listen, in His stead. Now folks, I want you to listen to. When God called me to preach, I didn't understand everything about preaching. When God called me to preach, I didn't understand everything about shepherding. But the more and more after I got called to preach, the more and more I read the Bible, the more and more I realized how much responsibility the shepherd does have. And that one day I will stand before a thrice holy God and I will give an account for every message preached from this pulpit, for every morsel of food given to the sheep. I will come into accountability for all of that. Now, the thing about it is, for some, that would be scary. Said, oh boy, I don't want to get in that position. I want that responsibility. Oh, let me tell you something. Pastoring and preaching the Word of God and loving the sheep's greatest job in the world. I can't think of a greater job in the world than caring for the sheep. And by the way, having God trust you with it. That, to me, is unbelievable. That God would trust us and put us in trust with the gospel. We've also learned that sheep must have prepared and secure pastures in order to grow and develop. Now, the thing about it is, if Trinity Baptist Church, if our services are not green pastures and still waters, if it's not a place where sheep can come and lie down and rest and feel the comfort and grace of God and fellowship with other sheep, then our church is not serving its purpose. We're supposed to be a green pasture for sheep, for people to come and enjoy serving and worshiping the Lord. Well, we also learned that sheep must be provided proper food and water. Listen now, regularly, if they're going to grow according and fulfill their purpose. So we've got to have a regular diet. We've got to have nutritional foods. We can't just be fed the same thing over and over and over again. So there are multiple things. Food is available everywhere when we come to church. And then we learned that many characteristics of the sheep and the variety of sheep that exist. So those are some of the things that we've learned without going back and rehashing everything. Now, church, listen very carefully. Comparatively speaking, of all the domestic animals mentioned in Scripture, sheep are probably at the top of the list as far as the maintenance process is concerned. You say, preacher, are you saying that sheep are high maintenance? That's exactly what I'm saying. They're very high maintenance animals. Now, the thing about it is, that's the reason we weren't compared to goats. Because, you know, goats are very low maintenance animals. Goats will eat barbed wire. They'll eat anything. And the thing about it is, but sheep won't. Sheep won't eat just anything. Sheep have to be pampered. Sheep have to be patted on the head. Sheep have to be nurtured along the way. Why? Because that's the nature of a sheep. They need that. God knew that, and that's why He provides that for us. And so, comparatively speaking, we've got to have fresh pastures, clean waters, nutritional foods. Listen, these necessities have to be in place, church, if we're going to have a healthy church. Well, also part of the maintenance process is grooming. The grooming process. Now, that process that the farmer or the shepherd has to undertake is absolutely mandatory for the sheep to maintain proper health now and durability. There has to be a grooming process that goes with it. Now, listen carefully. No grooming, no attention to grooming leads to unhealthiness. It leads to disease. It leads to a number of other things. And many times it leads to lethargic sheep because attention is not given to several things that they need. Now, I want you to write this down. I want you to write the word groom down somewhere on a piece of paper, and I want you to write this definition down. The word groom means to clean and maintain the appearance of. For instance, how many of you have ever seen people, dog lovers, that take their dogs to a dog show? One of the things that they do before they go to a dog show is they put that dog through a grooming process. I mean, man, some of them, they have got hair around their face this big. Some of them, they have no hair on their tail and a little cotton ball on the end of it. Some of them, if they're a girl dog, they wear lipstick. They got masks. Listen, they do these dogs up to go to the dog show. It's called grooming because here's what they know. They know that, hey, I think my dog's got the intelligent enough to do the tricks and to do things, so I want to make sure that I catch the judge's eye. And so they groom them and they prepare them for that particular thing. Well, grooming means to clean and maintain the appearance of, but it also means to get into readiness for a specific objective. Now, let's stop and think about this. We've learned in our studies that sheep have a purpose. There is a purpose for sheep. Now, we know that there are a variety of types of sheep. Some sheep we've learned are wool sheep. Some sheep that we've learned are what they call meat sheep. That means they're going to the market. And somebody's going to have lamb chops tonight. Okay? So we know that they're different types of sheep. Now, what I'm trying to say tonight, church, is this. The shepherd's objective is to get the sheep in shape to fulfill their created purpose. There's a purpose in life. And it's the shepherd's job to make sure that we are prepared for the purpose for which we were created. Now, sometimes certain elements of the grooming process can be a little bit uncomfortable. Now, I want to talk to you tonight only about one of the grooming processes that shepherds and farmers put their sheep through. And I'd like to compare that to some spiritual aspects tonight that we have to go through if we're going to go through the grooming process and be prepared to fulfill the purpose for which God created us. There is a process that sheep go through, that farmers use, and that shepherds use, called docking. Now, if you're not in, from the country, you don't know what docking means. But what they do is there's a process that they call docking the tail, which means that they cut a portion of it off. Now, this is a process that's done usually when the sheep are very young, usually when they're very small. Now you say, why so young? Because many times the younger you dock the tail, the more durable the sheep becomes. And so they do it at a young age. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? That's what I'm saying, mamas and daddies. You have an incredible responsibility to make sure that your children are, there's some things at a very young age that you teach them they're going to need to sever from their lives. And if they get involved in some of these things, it's going to be damaging and hurtful to them. Now, a long tail on a sheep. Now, I might have to be gross for a minute, okay? Now, if you haven't been raised on, I wasn't raised on a farm all my life, but I have seen some of this. I remember my uncle used to do this to pigs, and he used to dock the tail of pigs. But it's very, very important that a sheep's tail be docked, which means it needs to be cut off. And the reason being is because their tail becomes a collector of waste. Now, you say, that's gross. Yes, it is. But the point of the matter is that sheep don't need long tails. They serve as a collector of junk, if you know what I mean. It's waste. It's filth. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. The reason that farmers and shepherds dock their tail is because if not, the waste continues to collect on their tail to a point to where as they begin to move their tail, it becomes an irritation and it literally rubs the wool off of their backside, which then has open wounds, which then parasites can get in and ultimately kills the sheep. And so you have to make sure that the sheep, their tails are docked in order to keep that type of infection from happening. The next thing, that the reason they do it is not just because it's an irritation, because it's a breeding ground for parasites. Okay, now I got to get a little more gross. Can y'all handle this? How many of you already eaten supper? You already eaten supper? All right, sorry, we don't have barf bags around here. So if you get up and run, I know what you got to do. All right? Now I want you to listen. The reason that they become a source for parasites. Now, remember we've learned in preaching and teaching before what a parasite is. A parasite is something that feeds off of something else. It doesn't feed off of its own supply. It normally feeds off of somebody else's supply. And it usually eats something else. That's a parasite. Now, listen. What happens is the tail of a sheep, if it's not docked, what happens is it begins to collect that waste and collect that waste and collect that waste, and pretty soon its tail will be that big around. And then what happens is it serves as a source for flies who then lay their eggs on their tail, and then they turn into maggots, which then they begin to eat the flesh of the sheep, and eventually the sheep acquires health issues and eventually dies. Now, the thing about it is, docking is a very simple process. Let me show you how it works. All right? The tail of a sheep is not that long. It's a little bit longer than this. But normally what they do is they'll take some form of clip, or they'll take some form of clip and a rubber band, and what they will do is they will take it and they will clip the tail of that sheep in order to cut the blood supply off to the end. Now, the thing about it is the shepherd decides how long the tail needs to be. He wants to make sure it's long enough to where it clears the waste, all right? And so, therefore, he puts a clip and a rubber band on it, and you say, how long does he leave it on there? He leaves it on there until the tail dies. And then once the end of the tail dies, many times it will fall off. Or if not, he has to take what's called docking shears. And then he takes the tail of the sheep after the blood supply has been cut off, and takes the dead part, which is, by the way, of no use anymore, right? And he takes the tail and clips it off. And then you know what? The sheep's got a little tiny tail. Now, listen, the thing about it is there's a reason for this. That way it doesn't collect waste. That way that the sheep now can be disease free for the most part. But if he doesn't do that, then what happens is that the sheep gets what they call fly strike. And that's when the flies laid their eggs and they turn into larvae, which then grows and they become maggots. And then you got all kinds of problems. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm saying, okay? Not trying to be gross. I'm just telling you that too many of God's people got too many maggots. We got too many things that are eating away at our Christianity, and we don't even realize that it's happening. Now, I'm going to make an application in just a moment. But what I'm saying is the third thing is the reason they dock the tail of the sheep is because it hinders reproduction. In other words, sheep have a more difficult time reproducing. Sheep have a more difficult time conceiving. And therefore, you know what? Then when it comes lambing season, there's not as many newborns as there ought to be. And may I say to you that as a child of God, as a sheep, do you know God expects us to reproduce? And if we've got so much junk in our lives that we haven't severed from our life, it's going to hinder the reproduction process. Now, all I'm saying to you, church, is this, that there is a grooming process that has to take place outside the feeding process. Now, as I mentioned, docking sometimes can be very, very painful. And it's better to be done when they're young rather than going to the auction and buying sheep and have to do it then if somebody didn't take care of the job. Now, the reason they do it when they're young is many times it lowers the possibility of infection. It lowers the possibility when they're young of the pain process. But let me tell you something. If docking has to take place while they're an adult, the pain and the potential of disease gets more and more evident. There. That's the reason. How many of you that got saved like me, you got saved in your 20s or 30s, and as you begin to live the Christian life, the preacher began to preach, you begin to preach on things, you're like, what? What is he talking about? And all of a sudden, you realize that the docking process in your Christian life, the things that you had to sever became much more difficult, didn't it? Because now you had accumulated a lot of things, and now you were starting to look at how much money it was going to cost you if you started cutting things out of your life. Now, what I want to do tonight, church, is I want to make an application to our Christian life. As a believer, listen carefully now, as a believer, the Holy Spirit came into our life when we were saved. You know what the Holy Spirit's been doing with me for almost 29 years? Trying to clean me out. He's been trying to discharge all of the waste out of my life. And if I continue to hang on to some things in my life, it's going to provide an opportunity for irritation to me. It's going to provide the opportunity for parasites in my life. It's going to provide an opportunity for me and hinder me from reproducing myself. Now listen, the tail of a sheep doesn't catch all the waste. Listen, but it catches enough. It catches enough of the waste for flies to reproduce, maggots to reproduce, and the reproduction process to stop, and irritations to come. You know what the easy process to do? Just cut it off. Just cut off the things that are hindering you and that waste is attaching itself to in your life. Everybody here knows what they are in our lives. You see, if we have a spiritual tail that's collecting a portion of waste, then it will soon decay and rot in our lives and will never fulfill the potential and the purpose for which God created us. Now, that's where the shepherd comes in. That's when the shepherd has to stand up and say, listen, we need to do some tail docking. And they say, not cutting off anything over here. I kind of like my long tail. The shepherd says, yeah, but Mr. Sheep, you don't understand. Don't you understand that can be a health hazard? Don't you understand that this can be a situation for parasites and process of reproduction is going to cease? Do you understand? He said, I don't care. What happens? I like it this way. Now here's what happens. A few years later, the shepherd looks out there and says, where's that sheep? Where's that long-tailed sheep that said he wanted to keep his tail? Oh, preacher, didn't you realize he died? Died? What happened? Oh, got too much waste collecting on his tail. He didn't want to have the spiritual docking process and cut some things out of his life. And today he's no longer in church. Today he's out in the world and he's so messed up he doesn't know which ends up. Now, church, what I want to make the application tonight is to us. Because there are some maggots that are going to slowly eat away at the flesh. And they're going to cause the sheep some spiritual problems. Do you know, I would imagine that we've got some sheep here tonight that are just absolutely irritated at life. You come to church, but you're irritated. You're miserable. Things are rubbing you the wrong way. It wouldn't matter if Jesus stood up tonight and preached, you'd be irritated with him. You know why? The problem is not the preacher. The problem is not the shepherd. The problem is your tail. The problem is you hadn't docked some things and you've been hanging on to some things, and all of a sudden, all of these things have been collecting over months and maybe even years of your life. And now the decaying process is starting. Now, let me make a couple applications for us tonight, okay? First of all, take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We got the gross part out of the way, all right? We'll get to the spiritual part now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. The first thing I want to make the association tonight, church, is when a shepherd or a farmer docks the tail of a sheep in order to allow the cleaning process to take place. Remember, the Holy Spirit's trying to work waste and filth out of our life. But a lot of times we hang on to things and our tail ends up catching some of that stuff. And pretty soon we've got infection, irritation, and all kinds of problems. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. And did I say 1 Corinthians? I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. And verse number 14. The scripture says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen to verse 17. Wherefore, sheep, believers, come out from among them. You don't believe, listen, you don't belong in a pen with goats. You don't belong in a pasture with goats. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now listen, an undocked tail of a sheep, would you consider that an unclean thing? You say, listen, it's not just unclean, preacher, that's gross. Well, can I say to you, there's a lot of things in the Christian life that we shouldn't be a part of. You know why? Because they're just flat out gross. They're just things that a Christian should not have anything to do with. So the first area I want to talk about for just a moment, I'm going to hit three things real quick, and I want you to jot them down. First of all, you need to dock your associations. You need to dock, cut, sever some associations, and I think it's very clear that many of the associations that we're going to need to dock and cut from our life, that's going to cause parasites, that's going to cause reproduction problems, that's going to cause us joy and happiness in our life and bring irritation, is if we don't dock our associations, listen now, with unsaved people. You say, but preacher, I've got unsaved family members. No, you got me wrong. I'm talking about associating with unsaved people. I'm talking about you'd rather be somewhere with an unsaved group of people tonight shooting the breeze than being in the house of God with the sheep. You see, those associations are going to come back and cause an irritation to you someday. Those associations someday are going to come back and they're going to hurt you. Listen, goats eat just about anything that you give them. Sheep don't eat anything you give them. You see, goats will ingest just about anything. Cans, dirt, anything they can get their mouth on, they'll eat it. And by the way, you hang around unsaved people, they'll eat just about anything. And pretty soon, the thing about it is they're trying to put a tin can in your mouth, and sheep don't eat tin cans. Sheep eat tender grass. Sheep eat nutritional, vitamin-influenced food. They don't eat tin cans. So you're going to have to dock yourself from some association. You say, but preacher, what if I work around a bunch of unsaved people? I didn't say that you can't work there. What I'm saying is just stop associating. Stop hanging out with them. Stop going to their parties. Stop infiltrating things with unsaved people. They are going to rub off on you one day. Dock your associations. Here's the next thing. You're going to have to dock your associations not just with some unsaved people, but you're going to have to dock your associations with carnal and worldly believers. The Bible calls them backsliders. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 5. Go to Ephesians 5. You see, the thing about it, sometimes we justify our associations because we say, well, wait a minute, preacher, they're a Christian. Now, wait a minute, now we've learned there's a difference between believers and Christians. Believers are those who put their faith and trust in Christ. Christians are those who put their faith and trust in Christ and then practice their faith in Christ. Not every believer is practicing their faith. Christians do practice their faith. And so we're going to have to separate ourselves and dock ourselves some association with carnal and worldly believers. Ephesians 5:11, look at it. It says, and how, look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, reject them, remove them. Listen, Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. That means that his interests are more the interest of himself and his agenda and his lifestyle rather than the Word of God. Sheep need to hang out with sheep. Sheep need to hang out with people that are like-minded, that are going the same direction. Hey, listen, backsliders, church, are non-conformist to the Bible position of separation. That's what a backslider is. You know what a backslider is? A backslider is not that he doesn't know the truth. It's that he knows the truth and said, I'm not going to do it. That's what a backslider is. It's not that he doesn't know the Bible. It's that he does know the Bible, and he's just decided, I'm not going to do what the Bible says. Now, you hang around with people like that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to end up finding a lot of irritations. You're going to end up finding that there's going to be parasites and things that are coming that you didn't even dream. And then let me tell you something else that's going to happen. When you hang out with people like this, you're going to stop winning souls. You're going to stop reproducing yourself. Because you're going to be more interested in what's going on with them than what's going on out there and people dying and going to hell. So we've got to dock associations from unsaved people, from carnal and worldly believers. And listen, I'm going to mention a third group here that you need to watch out for. And that is those with Pharisaical ideology. That's the people that are believers, and some of them, for some part, may be trying to fulfill the Christian life. But listen now, these Pharisees that I'm talking about here, I call them ministry maggots. Because here's what they do. They feed off of everybody that don't see everything the way they see it. If you don't cross every T and dot every I like them, then you know what? I can't fellowship with you. I can't talk to you. I can't go to church with you. Listen, when you find a church where everybody in the church agrees with everything, would you let me know? Because I want to be a member of that church. Because that's going to be basically a perfect church. And there is no such thing as a perfect church. There is no such... Listen, every church has a degree of maggot personality to it. There's going to be people that are there that are going to have no grace, no tolerance, and no explanation for why they believe what they believe. It's just, if you don't believe what I believe, I can't have anything to do with you. Folks, you know what? That's what the Pharisees were. That's exactly what Jesus condemned them for. He said they were whited sepulchers. They looked the part. But he said inside they were filled with dead men's bones. So we've got to be careful about our associations. We've got to dock ourselves from unsaved people, from carnal people, and from those who have a Pharisaical attitude. They're critical, condemning, chastising, when it's not their job to do any of that. You know what the best thing I've learned in life, in my Christian life? If I don't have something good to say, it's probably the best me not to say it. Because the thing about it is, many times, anybody in here like the taste of shoe leather? Rubber? Anybody like dirty sock of the mouth? Not many people enjoy that. But sometimes we do all that because a lot of times we say something or do something and we have no idea what the facts are. We just say it because that's what we feel. Be careful about saying everything you feel. Okay? So dock your associations. Here's number two, real quick. Number two, take your Bible. Oh, let's see. I got lots of scripture here, so let's just go to one of them. Go to Proverbs 6. Go to Proverbs 6. Here's the second thing that we need to dock from our lives and sever from our lives. Not just some associations, but listen to me. This may be the most dangerous of all that many of God's people really struggle about docking or cutting back out of their life once they get saved. And that is, some of us need to dock our end and source of entertainment. Amen, preacher. Proverbs 6. Look, if you would, Proverbs 6 and verse number 18. Now remember, the scripture says, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. I want you to go down to verse number 18, and it says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now, we don't have time to go there, but you can go find it in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16. The scripture talks about three things, three elements that God despises and yet controls our depraved flesh. Remember what they are? They are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Did you notice two of the three have to do with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes? It's things that we entertain ourselves with. And yet we need to be careful about what we allow our little eyes. We teach our kids and sing to our kids in the nursery, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. The Father up above is looking down on us in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. And then we go through the ears. We go through, be careful, little hands, what you touch. And we go through all of that. And then we say, hey, now, boys and girls, God is watching you. Listen, isn't it amazing how it's okay to teach it to young people, 4 and 5 year olds, but we as adults don't apply that to our own life? Maybe we need to go into the children's church and sing again. Maybe we need to be in there and let a teacher teach us about being careful what we watch or what we hear or where we go. You see, docking isn't the total removal of the tail. Listen, it's just the shortening of the length of it. Listen, folks, I'm not saying that Christians can't have fun. I love to have fun, and I have lots of it. You don't cut everything off, but there's some things you need to cut back on. Now listen, I'm going to say something, you like it or not, it doesn't matter to me. Now listen, here's what we'll do. We'll jump on people and rip somebody to shreds that goes to the movie theater. Bless God, nuts of the devil! Now listen, and then we'll go to Redbox and rent something and take it home. Come on, help me out. You know what I'm talking about. You see, the thing about it is, here's what we are. We're hypocrites. Now, the thing about it is, what I'm saying to you is we ought to decide, are we going to sever some things that are hindering us? Listen, I'm not saying tonight, church, we can't have fun. What I'm saying is we need to limit and dock some of the entertainment that goes in the eye gate and that goes in the ear gate. Listen, some of the things that we need to dock is these. Some of us need to dock our reading material. Some of the things that we have on our shelf, you need to ask yourself, if Jesus came to my house, would he pick that book up and read it? Would he sit under the lamp and read with a glass of iced tea? Would he read that book? If he probably wouldn't read the book, you probably need to go ahead and remove it. You see, we need to dock some of our reading material. Listen to me now. How many of you love music? You love music? I love music. I love it. But you know there's good music and there's bad music? Some of us need to dock our music. Now the thing about it is, folks, listen, we need to evaluate. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit's trying to drive some things out to conform you to the image of Christ, and we want to keep our tail in the way so that some of the waste can continue to attach to our life. And then what happens, our home blows to smithereens, the devil gets in and has his way with our kids, and we say, preacher, we just don't understand. We got maggots everywhere in our house. We got parasites everywhere. And we wonder how they got there. You see, we need to dock some of our reading material. We need to dock some of our music material. We need to dock some of our viewing material. Hey, listen, we need to dock some of the places that we go. There's just some places Christians ought not to be. You see, what you do not know can and will hurt you. I hear people say, tell me all the time, preacher, what I don't know is going to hurt me. That's a false statement. Because it will. It will hurt you. You see, we get into these things and people talk about reading material and music and all this stuff. And said, oh, preacher, don't you know that's all amoral. That's neither good or bad. I don't know where they got their theology. They didn't get it from the Bible. But I'm just telling you, church, that probably the biggest area of parasite potential in getting in our homes and getting in our lives comes through the entertainment area of our life. So there needs to be some docking, okay? We need to take some of God's docking shears. And we need to sever some things. Some of the entertainment, some of the associations. Let me give you one more, okay? And this is going to get a little personal. Some of us need to dock our attitude. Okay? Now, folks, I'm going to say this, and again, I'm sorry if it boils or raises the hair on the back of your head, but I'm just telling you, folks, we get way, way too easily offended. Okay, listen to me. I'm about to reveal a huge secret. People make mistakes. Yeah. People make mistakes. People actually say stuff that's stupid? And a lot of times after they say it, they think, man, you know, that was kind of stupid. But here's what we do. If we're not careful, what we'll do is we won't go and start docking the tail. We want to dock their head. We want to cut their head off. Now, folks, I'm just telling you. Okay, listen to this preacher. I'm just telling you. Too many independent Baptists were cutting each other's heads off. And when we need to be helping people dock the tail, instead what we do is we pull the access and lay it right here. And we're cutting each other's head off. It's like, but I just made a mistake. That's all right, you only get one. Now folks, listen. Attitude is a choice regardless of the circumstances. How you handle and the attitude you have with people, that's your choice. Listen, if anybody had the right to get angry and punch somebody in the nose, Jesus did. But you know, he didn't do any of that. He didn't do any of that. He didn't grab anybody. He didn't go out of his way and intentionally hurt somebody. What he did is he understood there is a degree of problem and failure due to depravity. You see, attitude reflects a combination of temperament, spirit, and discipline, or a lack thereof. Now, some of us need to dock our attitude. Go real quick. I'm out of time. Colossians 4, real quick. Let's take a look at it real quick here. Colossians 4. Okay, Colossians 4, and look at verse number 6. Colossians 4, verse number 6. It says, let your speech be always. Wait, stop just a minute. I got a King James Bible. It looks like it says always in mine. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Has anybody here ever found anybody that agreed with you on everything? Anybody? So what you're telling me is that you still are able to actually carry on a conversation with somebody that may not agree with you on every point. Is that right? Are we big enough we can do that? Are we mature enough that we can do that? You know what? If we're not, then you know what we are? We've got too much waste on our tails. And we haven't docked it back far enough. You say, well, preacher, yeah, I did some docking. Look here. I cut 1 inch off. That's probably not going to be enough. And the thing about it is, folks, if we don't, listen to me, if we don't, then we're not going to be able to reflect Christ. And we're going to, listen, we're going to reach a place to where we refuse to do some things that God's commanded us to do. And then we become an instrument of the devil, maybe even within our own church. Now, an undocked attitude, it's going to collect unforgiveness. It's going to collect bitterness. It's going to collect apathy, jealousy, backbiting, criticism. All of these things that the Holy Spirit's trying to work out. and we hold on to them. Now, we've got to stop, but I want you to listen to me. Part of the process that a shepherd, part of his duty, part of his call, part of what his job is to dock tails and to say, you know what, I don't think that's going to work. And you know what? These things, they're going to hurt your family. They're going to hurt your life. They're going to hurt your marriage. Listen to what I've said. I've seen it happen. You're not going to be the exception to the rule. And sometimes sheep don't like it. Because when the preacher has to get out the scissors, I say, you're not doing that here. And listen, here's what happens. Yeah, I'm going to finish. Here's what happens. The sheep says, well, you know what? I'll just go find me someplace where they don't dock tails. I'll just go find me someplace where, you know what? They don't really care whether I'm a soul winner. They really don't care whether I tithe and give. They don't really care whether I serve. They're just glad to have me. You know what? You won't last 6 months there. And pretty soon you'll be diseased, full of parasites, and then we're going to check the reproduction and see if anything is happening in your life. Listen, there's a grooming process that has to take place. Sometimes things like this are not comfortable. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. Slip your hand way up high and say, I'm a Christian. I am a born-again believer. No question. If I died, I'm going to heaven. Preacher, no question about it. All right?